from tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, August the 30th, 1991. Labor Day weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris of Beckville, Texas, is the speaker of the evening.
Well, I've got another 5 minutes to say here before Brother Jack comes. Don't turn it off. Back before the July camp meeting, a thought passed through my mind one night in the night, and it was, why creation? Why is there creation? Why did God create what He created? And from that, I did 3 Sunday morning studies on it, and they are, why the kingdom? What is the kingdom? And where is the kingdom? And the last one is awesome. But why did God create what He created? Now, Jack talks about the kingdom, teaches us on the kingdom, and I came to the conclusion that why God created the universe and all that He has, He created it so there would be a kingdom. And why did He want a kingdom? He wanted a kingdom for the Lord Jesus. That's the purpose of creation. There is no other purpose except that there should be a kingdom to give to His Son, the Lord Jesus. All the rest of it, gold, silver, whatever, oil, anything, is immaterial to God. The only purpose for the whole creation is there be a kingdom for His Son, the Lord Jesus. Now, what is that kingdom? Now, I took 3 Sunday mornings to teach on this, so I'm not going to do that now. What is the kingdom? The kingdom is you and me. We're the kingdom. Not the universe, not this world. However, that is part of God's creation. But the kingdom is you and me. We're the kingdom. We are the kingdom. The kingdom is not heaven. The kingdom is not the New Jerusalem. The kingdom is not the millennial age. The kingdom is you and me. And Jesus said that when He prayed, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. And He said that the kingdom, Jesus said that the kingdom was now amongst men, because men are the kingdom of God. Then we'll pass that one by. Where is the kingdom? The kingdom is in you and me. We are for the kingdom, we are the kingdom, and the kingdom is in us. That's where the kingdom dwells. And if you think about that a little bit, that is an awesome thought. That I, that you, are the kingdom of God. And if you'll study, you'll find that that's true. That we are the kingdom of God. It is not something, tradition has taught us that the kingdom of God was over someplace in the millennium, and that one day, all of a sudden, everything was going to change, and suddenly everything would be right. Tradition has taught us that. But Jack may or may not, before he's finished tonight, and he's teaching whatever he teaches, may show you that that is error. But that isn't so. There's no biblical basis for that thought or that idea. None whatever. But we are the kingdom of God. And the kingdom dwells in me, and it dwells in you. And we carry a great responsibility, greater than you have ever thought about. You carry the kingdom of God in the earth. An awesome responsibility, that is. Now, this afternoon, I've got 5 scriptures that I'm going to read to show you what our purpose is for the kingdom today. Doc this afternoon read us Isaiah. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. But let's go to Psalms with me here. 110. Psalms 110. It says, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." That's an awesome statement. Have you ever considered it? Have you ever considered the ramifications of that statement? Who is the person who sat down at the right hand? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And if he sat down until his enemies become under his feet, think about that. Where are we? Matthew chapter 22. Tradition has caused great consternation and error in the end time that God is requiring of us, and Satan has caused it to use it so that we would be sleepy Christians without any fear of God and what he requires of you and me. Matthew 22 and verse 44. "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool." You just read it in Psalms. Jesus repeats it right here in Matthew chapter 22, verse 44. Okay, let's go back over to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43 and verse 7. And I think this is what Doc read this afternoon. "Everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him." So everyone is created for the glory of God and for a purpose. Now, what is that purpose that God created us for? He created us to be a subject for the King, the Lord Jesus, to be subjects, for we have a work to do for the King. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 14. "Fear not, thou worm, Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains, and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and thou shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel." What is Israel to do? Israel, the sons of the tribes of Israel. I'm not going into that, but this is Israel. This is not Judah or the Jews. This is Judah and Israel. What are they to do? They are to be a threshing instrument in the world for God. So we are to be a threshing instrument for the Lord. We're not to be passive. We're not to stop resist. We're to be intercessors. We are to resist the works of the devil. For we are to be a threshing instrument, having teeth, and we're to thresh the mountains, the places of authority. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 51. Oh, I could stay up here for tonight and all day tomorrow just on what I have called to your attention right now, with scriptures to use in these thoughts. But in Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 19 says again, it says, "The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name." Now this is talking about Jacob and Israel, who is Jacob's sons. It doesn't say Judah, so it takes in Israel, everybody, including Judah. Say, when I say Judah, to me that's the Jew. When I say Israel, that's more than Judah. And it says, "Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. For with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms, and with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider, and with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider." Who's going to do that? Israel. So there's a battle to be done. And that battle is in the heavenlies. that we're to fight, basically. The battle, first of all, is in the heavenlies. And God has called us to be that battle axe for the Lord Jesus. And that is, and being that battle axe is what's going to bring in the kingdom of God. It is with much travail and warfare that the kingdom of God will be brought in and imparted. But in it, we are to rejoice in the Lord. Now, somebody made mention this afternoon of Psalms 149. I think Jack did this afternoon, said something about 149th Psalm. Mm-hmm. Oh. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice, and Israel's been rejoicing here tonight and this weekend. Hallelujah. Israel is rejoicing.
Hallelujah.
Let Israel rejoice in him, in his maker that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with a timbrel and harp. Let the Lord take pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute upon them the judgment written, dishonor hath all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is an honor to execute the judgment of the Lord. That's what he's called us for in this hour. To execute his judgment for his king so that his kingdom can become a reality in the earth and the king can return to possess his kingdom. Brother Jack.
Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. I certainly enjoy the wonderful, beautiful word of the Lord around here. I'm enjoying that. The last statement that Brother Glenn made, those that are going to execute judgment, he said this power is given to all the saints. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Let's give the Lord a great big praise song. Hallelujah. Praise God, we appreciate your goodness. Thank you, Lord. We appreciate you. We appreciate this people, Lord. In Jesus' name tonight, Lord. We praise your wonderful name. Oh, praise the Lord. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would open up the spirit of revelation to our spirits tonight, Lord. Let our eyes see the unseeable. Oh, and let us know the unknowable.
Hallelujah.
So that we might do the undoable, that is, to this point, Heavenly Father. I pray that you would remove the scales from our eyes and let us to see clearly the intent of the Almighty concerning this people of the end time. In Jesus' name we pray tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, great God. Oh, praise the Lord. I so appreciate the ministry that has been shared with us since we started, and I've enjoyed every bit of it. My remarks will be intended to compliment all that has gone before. If at any time it seems otherwise, it is purely, it's not intention. Hallelujah. It's just that I may be approaching the subject from a different direction. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. I'm going to endeavor tonight to cover a lot of territory, and I'll offer you a lot of scripture. I'm going to preach without notes. Just kind of freelance, and I don't want to be confined to notes. Because I'm going to preach by the Spirit of the Revelation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't have anything against notes. I often preach the notes, but sometimes I feel like, don't take any notes, just be open. Hallelujah. If you're doing notes, you get kind of tied in, you know, you may not think that I'm tied in. Everybody say, Brother Jack, I love you. Yeah, I want you to say it now, Chris, and now I'm at it now. You have my permission to change your mind in the next down half. I hope you won't do that. I know you won't. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord's been very good to me. I've traveled all over, virtually all over the world, preaching the gospel and I found grace everywhere I've gone. All of people have been, God's people have been so excessively good to me. And generous with me. My, it would be unbelievable if you don't know the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, if I didn't already have a title to this, and I don't guess I do, I'm going to call it the third salvation. And I'm preaching sonship and kingdoms, as you know. The sonship is kingdom, and kingdom is sonship. And there's a lot of things in the kingdom. Ours is kindly a peculiar walk. It's kindly a difficult walk. You see, the Bible says that he has made us a kingdom of priests unto our God. In the New Testament, he says, I'll make you kings and priests. But he is quoting from Exodus 19 and 6, and the original statement was, I'll make you a kingdom of priests. But since we are, he can be the king, I just want to be the priest, one of the priests, of the many priests. And so he's made us a kingdom of priests, and it is unto our God. And ours is a lot, it's like this. We're in a kingdom, we are the kingdom of God, Brother Glenn said, and we're the kingdom of God, and we're in the world, which is a kingdom of its own, the kingdom of the world. And we are more familiar with the kingdom of the world, with the world kingdom, than we are the kingdom of God. We've been knowing about it longer, and we're more out to be doing things that belongs to the kingdom of the world, more hours than we're doing things that belongs to the kingdom of God. But we don't, we like this position. I like to think that I am a priest unto God in God's kingdom. And I don't mind that this kingdom is a minority kingdom in a bigger kingdom that doesn't know God, because I know that God, that it won't always be that way. You'd be foolish to think that things will continue as they have. All great changes are taking place, and God is accelerating the move of God, and great, we're going to do exploits. There are many things, and I said, I may repeat myself from last night, but there are many things that we're going to do that we haven't done yet. Now, for these people that want to insist that we've got it all, I don't like that. I don't. I'd hate to wake up with things in the condition that they're in, and me in the condition that I'm in, and think I've got it all. That would take away my blessed hope.
Yes.
For if I had it all, the Bible said, what man yet hopeth for that which he has? But if you hope for that which you have not, then do you with patience wait for it. I always must have a hope that exceeds my walk in experience. Hallelujah. Now, I tell you right now what my blessed hope is. I'm going to tell you right here in the mouth of the gun. My blessed hope is that I will walk in the light. In case you don't understand that terminology, I'm going to make it clearer than that and tell you that my blessed hope is that I will walk into the kingdom's dispensation without going by the way of the grave. Yes. I'll walk into the translation of the blessed sons of God without going by the way of the grave. That is my blessed hope. If you had asked me 30 years ago, what is your blessed hope, I would have said, I hope I die and go to heaven. Now, that's blessed hope. But now I have found a more blessed hope. Now I don't wish that I'd die and go to heaven. I hope that I'll live and reign with Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And that is the blessed hope. And I have, all right, who can have this hope? Everybody that has the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a candidate for sonship and for walking into life. You may walk into life in another realm besides the sonship. You might walk into life in the bride company. It's a great company. Sonship is a thing. Let there be no mistake about it. And we would hope that we could walk into that, but if I don't, if the time element's not right, see, Peter said there is that salvation that is to be revealed. Now I want to talk to you about that for a moment. Somebody made mention, I believe it was Steve, said there were three. I believe he said there were three salvations. He mentioned the 30-fold, 60-fold, and the 100-fold. And what else did you mention in that reading, Brother?
Passover, Pentecost.
Yeah, Passover, Pentecost, and Feast of Tabernacles. Yeah. Right. All right. Now, I give you three salvations. In Jude chapter, well, there's only one chapter, so it's in verse 3. In Jude. Jude says, he speaks to the beloved and said, when I gave all diligence to write unto you about the common salvation, I thought it needful or felt urgently to exhort you to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That's one salvation, is the common salvation. Now, let me make it clear here that these are not three distinct different salvations. The lesser is swallowed up in the greater. When you get to the third salvation, you still have the common salvation, which is the beginning. Common salvation is fleeing to Jesus for refuge, to escape the wrath of the wrath that is coming upon the world. It is accepting Him as your personal Savior. That's the commonest form. And, of course, the word common is never taken here in a derogatory sense, but that is common salvation. That salvation is easily explained. It is easily recognized. And even your fundamental religious orders know about this salvation. That's common salvation. Then in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, he speaks of another realm of salvation. And this one he calls great. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? In chapter 2 of Hebrews, I believe it is, and verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? All right, now, we have graduated to a great salvation. This, to follow 30, 60, and 100-fold, this would be equivalent to the 60-fold. It would be those that are baptized in the Holy Spirit. But, see, when I came up through the old school, and I've been in the ministry for a long time, and I used to use this. My first 10 years in ministry, or about that long, I suppose, was I preached for decision. You know what I mean? An evangelist. And all of my, every time I preached, I made an appeal to the lost. And hundreds, to be conservative, hundreds of people came to the Lord. It was a good day. It was a day that is gone by now. I rarely ever preach that kind of an appeal now, because I rarely ever is a need before me. Would be no use in making an appeal to you to obtain common salvation if you all of you already have obtained common salvation. I need to tell you about the great salvation. So I use this passage, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? But I didn't know there were three realms of salvation then. And but I learned later by the Spirit that it's not talking about somebody coming to or neglecting initial salvation. It's talking of our common salvation. It's talking about we that hail the common salvation and this salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect the second realm of salvation? So great. If you put it this way, I moved 16 years ago from a farm that we'd been on all my life, and we'd been on it for my ancestors had been on it for five generations. And I moved 16 years ago. But before I moved, well, I had, when I had some boys, that you know, but they got drunk. But before 16 years ago, leaving out one tank, we used to do some truck farming, gardening up on the hill there on the farm, and I'd truck past 3 or 4 or 5 acres there, just give it to the neighbors there, everybody, you know, and never throw nothing, just give it away. And after the boys left, I was going to continue to do that, but every year I'd plant it, and then I'd go off up country somewhere and stay for, 2 or 3 weeks. And when I come back, you know how that is. If you neglect it for about 3 weeks right at the crucial time, you haven't got anything. So about 3 or 4 years there before I left the farm, I neglected my garden. So when I moved to town, I didn't have a garden. I moved and built my house where I live now, and I didn't have a garden. So I could say that the last 5 years I was out there, I neglected my garden. But I cannot say, since I moved to town, that I have neglected my garden. I simply don't have one. Yeah, I see you got that. All right? So then he is talking to us to obtain this great salvation. And he says, how shall we escape if we neglect this great salvation? If we neglect to cultivate it. Oh, praise the Lord. What's the reason for cultivating it? So we can move into the next realm. And the next realm is in the 5th chapter of Hebrews and verse 9, I believe it is. And being made, well, let's read verse 8 with it. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Eternal salvation. Oh, well, that's all right. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. In order to obtain the third salvation, you have to be obedient. He doesn't use the word completely, but he makes it very final when he said, it's to all them that obey him. I'm going to nail it down just a little tighter in our way of speaking and say those that completely obey him. If you would be a son of God, there is much ministry left for us. A lot of things that we are programmed to do that we can't do. We haven't done them, and we can't do them tonight. All right. I'll have to give you scripture for all of this because you think I'm just bouncing off the wall here, and I'm not. So I got this by most of, I may quote somebody occasionally, but you know how I came into this ministry? By revelation. I mean direct revelation. Nobody taught it to me. As a matter of fact, I didn't know anybody that knew anything about it. And that troubled me, too. It was a trouble, some things to me. And the group that I was with, I tried to share some of it, and it was more troublesome than I thought. But I knew it was God. And the reason that I knew it was God, because he was giving it to me right revelation, and then I was digging it right out of here.
And it was there all the time, like their milk. See? And we just didn't see it. But I seen it. A lot of the coin sayings that you hear now very commonly, a lot of them originated for this generation. Now, I don't know what somebody made down 200 years ago, but for this generation, a lot of them originated right here. And I voiced them with my mouth, and I didn't even know it. Oh, praise the Lord. I tell you now, my people, that I shall not cease to speak to you soberly. Yea, I shall not cease to call you often to a spirit of repentance. For I tell you now that the obedience, yea, the dedication that I am calling you to is far greater than you can meet, except by the power of the Almighty, saith the Lord. Therefore you must lean heavily upon me. Yea, come into my banqueting house. Yea, and I shall set you a table of delicacies, but not only in my banqueting house, but even among your, in the presence of your enemy. I shall set you a table of delicacies. Ye shall eat and be full, saith the Lord of glory. For you are the sheep of my pasture. Yea, you are the called out, saith the Lord. Yea, the calling is mine, the choosing is mine. Saith the Lord, I have called and you have answered. Yea, deep has called unto thee, and you know of an assurance that you've been in the presence of the Almighty. Now I tell you now, the deep will call unto thee this night. Yea, you will hear a voice that is from the depth of the throne. Yea, it'll call unto the depth of the throne within your being, and you will know that you are ordained for lofty things, saith the Lord thou God. I tell you, it is a lofty position, a lofty ministry that I am calling thee to. Yea, only the pure in heart, yea, only those that are willing, I shall feast at this table, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, only those that can be trained, only they that can be taught, saith the Lord thou God. Only they with an hungry heart, yea, shall know that the Lord of glory is speaking, saith the Lord. I tell you, there are some people, oh my, you remember in the book of Acts it says that Paul and Silas, they went into the synagogues, preached, and they were rejected. They came out into the streets and preached, and as many as were ordained unto eternal life heard them gladly. Praise the Lord. I feel in my spirit there that there are some that are ordained to eternal life here, to the eternal realm of salvation, that doesn't know it and has not known it until tonight, when you feel that depth of your spirit, hallelujah, amen, begin to rise up within you. And the spirit, your spirit, bears witness with the word that you hear. You will know that you are ordained to eternal life, saith the Lord. Mm-hmm. Oh, blessed be God for that. What a great walk it is. All right, in First Corinthians here, let's see, in chapter 6, here, I'm talking about, let's see, in First Corinthians chapter 6, and verse, maybe let me see here, I might have done better with notes, huh? In First Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 3. Well, I was in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Know ye not that ye shall judge angels? Somebody want to help me here? That's true, that's what I said. My first guess is usually the best. There was a time, and I don't know what happened, but there was a time when I didn't need to, no man help me with locating scripture. I could quote most of it, and knew where it was, but I still do a great deal of it. Something happened to my spotting right off, even with the anointing. I think it was the Lord. I just quoted, and the Lord wanted me to read it, and I just quoted myself. And he put me back to reading some of it, you know. And all right, here we are. I'm going to give you the scripture. Know ye not that ye shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? He's talking about those that had matters against one another. They went outside the church to get it judged.
and he tells them that you're going to judge angels. Yeah, that's quite a mission, isn't it? That who's going to judge? Have you judged any angels? I mean, keeping it in its context, in one sense, we're judging the world by just our presence. But here in the context, he's talking about judging between right and wrong, and judging offenses, isn't he? Because he's talking about those that went to the law to get judgment, and he says, you could do that. You're going to do better than that. You're going to judge angels. All right? If that is so, then, let's turn over to, have we established that? Is that sufficiently established? Let's turn over to the book of Jude. Verse 6. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Now, if somebody tells you you're going to judge angels and then shows you a group of angels that have been held in chains, locked up, and held without bail, I think it would be safe to assume this is the group we're going to judge. Hallelujah. I think it would. All right, now, let's look at these angels. These angels, they left their first estate, and they were brought into captivity, but they were put in prison. They're reserved in everlasting chains, that is, age-lasting chains, under darkness. And they're being held unto the judgment of that, of the great day. What is that great day? That's the salvation that is to be revealed in the last day. Why can't I judge them now? All right? Because Isaiah tells me why I can't judge them now. Now I judge too much by the seeing of the eye and the hearing of the ear. Now I can be influenced. I could be, if I had to make a judgment, just a simple judgment, and somebody meets me in my chamber and makes an appeal to me, I can be influenced. If I can't be bribed, maybe he'll try for my sympathy. If he can't reach me through bribing or my sympathy, maybe he'll try threatening me. But at any rate, at this point, I could be influenced back in my chambers. He might tell me, hey, I've got a bomb set under your living room table, and your wife and bunch of grandkids eating right now. Would that influence? I could be influenced. But, when am I going to judge these angels? In the last time. They're reserved unto the last. Ain't nobody, they're not going to get out on bail. They're bound over till the trial date. They can't get loose. Hallelujah. And so he's going to raise up a company of sons of God that can judge. Bypass the seeing of the eye, the hearing of the ear, cannot be influenced, but can judge with righteous judgment. Oh my God. Who wouldn't want to be part of this great company that God is raising up? The sons of God. Hallelujah. They are. How do I do this? Oh, you just have to yield and let Him do it. If he calls to deep and you know that you are ordained unto this ministry, just yield to him and let, oh my love, I love this incident that happened to me years ago. I was training in World War II for the invasion of France, and there was paratroopers, and we was stationed just at a place. Like the ocean just came up and run into tall cliffs, rocky, and the cliffs up the wall, but at the top was all kinds of vegetation. And the cliffs must have rose right up out, it looked like right up out of the sea to stop the tide when it came in. And they must have been, I don't know how high they were, 300 feet perhaps, maybe more. And they were rocky all the way up, and when the tide would come in, It would all come in maybe 10 feet up on there, and just it came in rough. But when the tide would go out, it actually had a little beach.
you know, not too wide, but there was a pretty nice sized beach there, and the birds fed off of that beach, and the swallows came from Africa to make the summer there, and they fed on the herbs and some of the live things that was washed up on the seashore. And plus, I didn't know a thing about them. I knew that the swallows were migrants, and we were out doing calisthenics, and it was long, about 9 o'clock in the morning. The sun was up. Rare occasion for that part of England, but the sun was bright, and all at once there was a great whirring sound, fluttering, whirring, and wondered, well, what in the world? And then the sun blacked out. You know what it was? It was getting long late in the fall, and it was them swallows. And they had every one, thousands, millions of them, no doubt. Every one of them had rose in unison and had set their course for sunny Africa. And what a sight it was. Without any prearranged signal, without anything that I heard, without any absolute leader, they just rose in unison. So I thought, what a sight that is. So after the calisthenics was over and I got some time, I went down to look at the cliff and the beach when the tide was gone out. And when I got down there, you know, usually the rock colored and swallows, there wasn't a swallow to be found. But there were some crows and some jaybirds and some mockingbirds and just a general mixture of birds. And they were down there feeding on that old dead carcasses that the waves had brought in. And I thought, them swallows heard a voice that said, they felt an urge that the other birds didn't feel. Mm-hmm. They heard a voice that the others didn't hear. And they must now be on their way to sunny Africa. They'd get there in time for the breaking of spring to eat those tender, live herbs. But the rest of the birds would just linger around there and eat the dead carcasses that the tide brought in. If that don't preach to you, I'll just step down. It was my lot to sit in the Sunday school class in the home church, the church that I now pastor, I've been filling in 38 years. I told them when I offered to fill in for them, they, no, don't quit looking for a pastor because I don't want this to be a long engagement. Or sometimes now I suspect they're not even looking for one. Anyway, I sat there on the front pew and in the Sunday school class, and I heard voices that my friends didn't hear. I felt urges that they didn't feel them. I sat there and watched. I sat there all my life and watched God get a sprinkling out of every generation, every age group. There'd be like, I imagine in my age group there was 15, 20 of us guys down there, same age, you know, same year. Well, within, give us 2 years, we'd catch it. And about two of us heard a voice. There was another boy that was raised with me that made a preacher. He died here about 3 years ago. We heard voices that the others didn't hear. We didn't have any advantage of them that you could see. We were not special, except God. It may be that they heard the voice and rejected it, but we heard the call and couldn't reject it. I heard the call and couldn't reject it. You know, there never has been a day since I can remember that I didn't believe in God. Well, I hadn't been a good Christian all that time, but you know, I was in the took time out to go do the war, and somebody said, "Well, are you a Christian?" Well, it depends on, I don't know. It depends on your theology. To you, it would. I mean,
What do you believe? According to the old school that I came up in, I would be a... I'd have to believe that it wasn't, because we believed in backsliding. Boy, believe me, we believed in backsliding. If you didn't backslide a few times, you ain't nobody, no? They preached it so much, it was almost mandatory. But I enjoy, I relish every minute that I spend with that order. It's been profitable to me this far in my life. It really has. But I came out. You're looking at a come out of the come outers. I had never been kicked out of anything. But I've come out. But the only way I'll come out is to go with God. If everybody sits down and don't want to go with God, I'll find something. God will lead me to somebody that does want to go with God. Hallelujah. And he's led me all over. And I tell people that wants to move with God, they have embraced. People have heard the message of sonship for the first time.
That's right.
And they embraced it. Hallelujah. Deep called to deep. And they knew that this was what they'd been looking for. Well, praise the Lord. All right? So what do you have to do? A lot of things have to happen to you. See, I came out, but you have to... It's not... Oh, have you had... Well, let me ask you this. Have you had your double wean in yet? I see how close we're getting drunk here. Before you judge any angels, you'll have to have a double wean in. Amen. Now, you want to see that, and let me show you here. In Isaiah... Chapter 28 in Isaiah. Yeah, this, all right, in verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. All right? Who's going to have knowledge enough to judge angels? Hallelujah. Amen. Who shall he make to understand doctrine? Doctrine is rightly dividing the word of truth. Glenn talked about somebody talked about rightly dividing the word of truth. I think it was Glenn. He does talk about it anyhow. That's dividing, that is understanding doctrine, the message. All right? Moses was a deliverer. We're talking about deliverance ministry. Moses was a great mass deliverer, wasn't he? Oh, it's interesting to watch Moses come from where he came from to where he went to. Yeah, if you'd like to know more about this, I've got a book back there entitled The Barefoot Ministry, and I recommend it. It's kind of my pet. I touch all bases in that book. No, as far as is possible in the brevity of it. But Moses was influenced by two mothers. He had an adopted mother and a biological mother, and so he had to have a double weaning. He went to and did on the backside of the desert until what I'm interested in is my double weaning. I've already had a double weaning. I'm ready. I'm ready to move into the next phase if I knew what it was. And when God gets ready to move me into, I've already had the double weaning. You see, the first weaning is, you remember when, the first weaning is when I came out. I came out of the mother hen that hatched me. I got knowing more than the hen did. Because the hen didn't have no way to learn anything except by bylaws, and I had a whole open scope. God was speaking to me. So I came out. But that wasn't enough. You see, it is not enough to come out. You remember when, back in my generation, or in generation above that, babies were mostly nursed, breastfed. And it was an inconvenience to the mother, of course, because she it confined her. So she'd be glad when the baby'd get 2 months old and she could
began to take it off the breast, and the way she took it off the breast and kept it pacified was she stuck a bottle in its mouth. So she weaned it from the breast, but it now, it'll have to have another wing. It's addicted to the bottle. Now, what the mother hen, the denomination that you come out from, that's the first weaning. But if you don't watch, they'll still pack you their litter to her. And you'll still be doing your Sunday school classes and lessons from the litter to her. That real wean, you got weaned from the breast, but now she's giving you the bottle. And you've got to get weaned off of that too. And when you get weaned in both places, you have a double weaning, and you're ready to become a deliverer. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You're ready to become a son of God. You're ready to move into this category that we'll judge angels. Listen to this. Over in 1 Peter again, we'll go back over where we were last night, and we'll read some scripture here in 1 Peter chapter 1, where Peter speaks of this salvation that is to be revealed. Hallelujah. He says in the verse, he says in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. God is so time conscious. It'll be ready when the last time comes. Now, part of the revelation is the third salvation. Paul said, beloved, I wish, I pray that you'll be preserved both spirit, soul, and body. All right, now, here Peter say that we have this inheritance that is stored away. It's incorruptible. It's incorruptible. That's a big word. It's bigger than incorrupted. It's a little bigger yet than we might say this politician is incorrupted.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.